Kane is in the building.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as I mentioned, this is a jam-packed NFL hour. We'll have Russell Baxter coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll talk to him about the league. Good, the bad, and the dumb will be moved to our next hour. I want to make sure we get that in because, yeah, I love it. A good segment. And by the way, if you miss that or you miss some other parts of this show, you can subscribe to the podcast, podcastarena.com, and subscribe. Take us with you wherever you go. So you don't miss anything that Ron says in the good, the bad, and the dumb, especially. Don't you, when we single some of that out?
Oh, all the time.
As clips? Because I like that.
Yep.
Because some of the better stuff that we do is in that segment. And now it's a standalone segment.
And then I like to, because I'm usually the one who pull those segments, and I'll pull a segment like yesterday where you went off on a whole thing with the comparing the Jaguars quarterback situation to an 80s rom-com.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
I got to isolate that one. So if you don't want to listen to the whole show, you can just listen to some of the better segments that we have, or fun segments that we have.
And give us a 5-star rating. Isn't that what people say in the podcast
world? Of course.
Give us a 5-star rating. Because we, you
just
know,
keep clicking on it.
Click on it,
listen, go out of it, click on it, tell a friend to click on it. They don't even have to listen. We just want them to click on it.
All right, let's get to the top five. We go five all the way to one, and let's start with number five, and this is where I put the New Orleans Saints. Bounce back game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Our good friend Frank Schwab over at Yahoo Sports said Michael Thomas is on pace for 150 receptions this season. Seems very high to me.
Yeah.
But the numbers add up. He is your workhorse. There is a blemish against the Falcons that I don't like, but not enough to take him out of the top five, so that's where I put the Saints.
Wait, blemish against the Falcons?
Atlanta.
Was it a week ago? Yeah, I mean, we even said that, you know, it's just one of those games that happens to good teams sometimes.
Right.
Sometimes they just get bit in the rear and, you know, those things happen. Yeah, I have the Saints at number five as well. Very impressive the way they were able to handle bounce back from that loss with the Falcons. I mean, they did exactly what they're supposed to do.
And
no arguments.
And again, yeah, there really isn't. They're just a dangerous team. It doesn't matter who's a quarterback with Drew Brees or Teddy Bridgewater. They are winning games. Again, I didn't like the loss of the Falcons because they got kept out of the end zone. Not so much they got beat, but they didn't score a touchdown. But bounced back nicely. There's a road game against Tampa. They intercepted Jameis Winston a bunch of times defensively, and Drew Brees looked sharp. So they're at five. Number four, this is where I put Seattle. Now, I love Seattle. I'd like to put them higher, but I'm just going to keep them there for now. I still like Russell Wilson as the top MVP candidate, but this is where I put them at 8-2. I like their Monday night win against San Francisco. Good road win. Came down to the wire in overtime. Still an outstanding team. This is where I put Seattle at 4.
Yeah, I had the Seahawks at 4 as well. I mean, no game this week, so you can't really fault them for not playing.
No.
But they're definitely a top 5 team. The real question regarding this team and really comes down to the play of Russell Wilson. Can he keep it at this MVP level that he's currently on right now?
Yeah, it's been fun to watch him because when he had the Legion of Boom defense on the other side of the ball and Marshawn Lynch, well, he doesn't have any of that anymore, and he's still playing at a high level. And that's always been the question of quarterback is how much is it the quarterback, you know, and how much is it the stuff around him that he doesn't have to worry about? He doesn't get in shootouts when the Seattle defense is as dominant as it used to be during the Super Bowl years. But he has proven that he can play, he can use different weapons and still produce winning seasons.
And it's not only that, it's almost Tom Brady-esque in the sense that who are his receivers?
Yeah, no kidding. That's really an impressive array of weapons, not per se from the production, but some of the names you go, wow, this guy, that aren't household names in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, we know, you know, I mean, we're starting to learn about DK Metcalf, but I'm not 100% sure who his other receivers are.
Yeah.
But he's one of those type of very Drew Brees-esque, very Tom Brady-esque, where he's just passing the ball around to everyone.
Yep, and doing a great job of it. So the Seattle Seahawks are at 4. What do you got? Where you put Seattle at four as well?
I put Seattle at four, yep.
All right, so three is where I put San Francisco.
Hey, look at that.
Oh, look at this. I know. This is turning into pretty easy. The Niners at 9-1. Look, they came back and beat the Cardinals. These are games. They've struggled against Arizona, but I'm not going to fault them for that. Sometimes there's just a matchup that you still win the game, but there are some matchups that are going to cause you some problems. And maybe, just maybe, Arizona has that personnel, those one or two people that just match up well with whatever the Niners have defensively or offensively, whatever that matchup may be. And that just might be the case. You see it all the time. You see a dominating team struggle against a team that's weaker in their own division, and you wonder, wow, how could that possibly be? Well, remember, these games, they come down to coaching and matchups, and sometimes you might just have the edge, not to get over the top, but enough to cause them to sweat. I think that's what's going on. But the Niners, you know what? They got the win, and so that's all that matters, and they're 9-1.
Yeah, it really is surprising that the one team that they've had the most issues with has been the Cardinals. And so I really put that more on the Cardinals than I do on the Niners' inefficiency.
Yeah, because we talked about it. The Arizona Cardinals are not a team that's winning games, but they're kind of looking decent for a team that's growing. Right,
like, it's one of those situations. At the end of the season, you're not going to fire Cliff Kingsbury.
No.
You're not going to think that drafting Kyler Murray was a mistake.
Right, and those are the two things that
those
you
are your
would
two
come
big
into.
Questions. Yep.
Two big questions coming in.
And so, I mean, and the way they've been playing, I mean, they're playing against the way the Cardinals play against quality opponents. They're in these games all the way. And if you're a Cardinal fan, you have to be excited.
That is the thing, and that's the cool thing about it is all I want to see, if I know my team is in the toilet, is growth, right? I don't mind a 6-10 record if I'm seeing the future. And I think if you're in Arizona, there's a good future. I think we'll see as he gets more and more work. But I got to feel excited. My team's in close games. They may not be winning, but my God, what did I really expect? First-year head coach, first-year quarterback. And it's got to be, it's got to make you feel a little better that the future is looking a little brighter in Arizona.
And see, I had the Niners at three as well. Not sliding them at all. I just felt that there was a team that jumped them this week.
All right. So now the big question, it really was all about this segment, was who is going to be one and two. You could make it a 1A, 1B situation, but I'm going to go with the Patriots at two.
Oh, okay.
I thought about this back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I said this at the top of the hour. I think people nitpicking the offense is legit, but at the same time, remember what we're doing here. Remember what we're talking about. We're still talking about a Patriots team that's 9-1. The playoffs could run through Foxborough, and if that's the case, they're going to be a Super Bowl favorite to go. They're going to be a favorite in those games, home in January. Yeah, I don't care who they play. And that could set them up. But the two teams that we're talking about here at the top, Baltimore and New England, both had big games on Sunday. They both had two of the bigger games on Sunday. The Patriots beating the Eagles and doing it with an offense that's struggling was very impressive, because the Eagles should really be wondering how in the world they let that game go. But I really loved what the Ravens did. But I'm going to put the Patriots at two, but this is easily switchable.
I get that. I gave the Patriots the more benefit of the doubt, I guess.
Okay, that's legit.
Just knowing
they didn't lose to the Browns.
Yeah, knowing who their coach is, knowing who their quarterback is, and who both those guys are, first ballot unanimous Hall of Famers. But at number two, I stuck with the Ravens, and I'm with you. It could be a 1A, 1B situation. I just feel that, at this point, it's like I want to see a little. I don't know if it's I want to see a little bit more out of the Ravens, or you still have that feeling like, hey, the shoe could drop at any second.
Sure. Sure.
But what Lamar Jackson is doing is inspiring football.
It really is. I mean, he's really, really, really is.
The greatest thing about it is he's not doing one thing great. He's doing a lot of different little things really, really well, putting them all together and cramming up with almost a new style quarterback, a hybrid quarterback that we've kind of talked about in the past, where we've seen with, maybe with Randall Cunningham or Michael Vick back in the day. And we do have running quarterbacks, but this one, it feels almost different. It feels like you almost have a running back there who could throw the ball accurately.
When you're talking this midway point of November, week 11, you're talking about a New England Patriots team that's 9-1, Yes, they've got some tough games on their schedule. Dallas, Houston, Kansas City. But the Bengals, Bills, and Dolphins, yeah, the Bills could be tough again, but that game's going to be in Foxborough. What's the record in the AFC going to have to be to secure home field advantage through the playoffs? If the Ravens are playing right behind you, right? I mean, nip and tuck football. You know, the Patriots aren't a lock to get this. They don't have the head-to-head tiebreaker with the Ravens. So, you know, a loss and you're in a tie and you may have to go to Baltimore. But, again, this league has a funny way of sorting this all out late. We had that year, a couple of years ago where the Broncos were number one but could have gone to the playoffs with a fifth seed. I mean, it was all up and down, right? The league has a tendency to do this, but thinking long term, I mean, if these are the two runaway winners of the AFC right now, what would it take to win the conference outright? And that's not going to get decided until very late.
With you. I mean, that's why they're 1A, 1B. It's really a tough call. I'm just giving the edge to the experience rather than the inexperience.
It's one of the reasons, by the way, real quick, that Tom Brady plays 16 games every season. He never has that, we've wrapped this thing up by week 14 and I can take the weekend off. Patriots are always playing for something, and there's always a team, whether it was Manning's Broncos or Kansas City last year, there's always a team that's right behind you playing for home field advantage, and that's what they want. So even though they may wrap up a division or whatever, they go for the number one seed, and it usually comes down to week 16 or maybe even week 17, that final game of the year. All right, that's
hold on real quick. On a little side note, because you had mentioned it, you don't have ESPN Plus, right?
No, I do not.
No, I don't either. I really when they showed the promo for Peyton's Places, the one where it's just Peyton Manning and Tom Brady talking to each other. It's like that, and that alone will make me want to purchase ESPN Plus.
I know. It really is.
If you have a bootleg copy of it, please send it to me. Because I just want to, I mean, you're talking about two of the greatest football minds just shooting the you-know-what with each other.
Yeah, such a really long rivalry. I mean, and usually don't get that in this sport where it got me thinking, as long as it did.
Have we, even before them, and I know since, I already know the answer since then, but before them, did we ever have a quarterback rivalry on that same level?
I'd have to really dig in to the ones, because it's conference. They played in the division for a long time before they broke it up and moved Indianapolis to the AFC South. But they used to be division rivals. They used to play twice a year in the early days of the rivalry. But yeah, that'd be an interesting thing to kind of sort out, to figure out, because I don't think so. I mean, it's got its own Wikipedia page, for crying out loud.
Yeah. I mean,
of all the matchups, playoffs and otherwise.
That promo of them, I'm assuming that's Tom Brady's backyard.
I'm hoping. I don't
know. And he's like, hey, if we break a window, it's like, oh, that's the house you're moving from. You don't care.
Yeah, that's right. All right, we'll get bottom five coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our professionals know what it takes to get the job done right. Professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. Come see for yourself. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. It is now time for the bottom five as we go 28 on up. And at number 28, I'm going to put the New York Jets. Back-to-back wins against terrible, terrible teams.
J-E-T-S, Jets,
but they
still
get in the bottom five, but not as hurtful as I've done in the past. Give them a little credit for two straight wins, even though against awful teams. Sam Darnold did throw four touchdowns against an awful team. You don't get out of the bottom five, Jets, but you're not exactly buried in it either. So Jets are 28.
All right. Well, 28, this is where I stuck your Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ah, the Buccaneers.
Listen.
New blood into the bottom five.
The saving grace for Jameis Winston this year is that Marcus Mariota was benched and not him.
Yeah.
Although I'm guessing the only reason why he's not benched is because I'm not even sure who their backup is, but he must be terrible.
All right, I got the same question for the Buccaneers that I have with remember when the Mason Rudolph situation in Pittsburgh where the Steelers were like, we love him, we love everything about him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, tell me what you love. That's the same thing with the Buccaneers. I keep hearing Bruce Arians has got his back. The front office has got his back. Tell me why. Tell me why you're doing that. Tell me what do you see in him that I'm missing? I'm not in Tampa. I don't know his off the field work. I don't care. This guy is an interception machine.
I mean,
he has thrown 18 of them already.
Yeah, every week has multiple interceptions. Last week against I can't even remember who they played. They lost to
The Saints.
He threw four.
He threw four.
So I don't get it either. I'm on the same page as you and probably the rest of America outside Bruce Arians' household.
If you can convince me, but tell me why you love him and why you have his back. This guy, he just turns the ball over all the time. And so I'm glad you got some new meat in the bottom five.
Yeah, I almost stuck the Broncos here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give the Broncos the benefit of the doubt. You did have a 20-point lead on the Vikings before coughing it up.
All right, number 29 on my list, I put the 29 on my list is a team that didn't win or lose. They had a bye, and that's the New York Giants. Six-game losing skid. Talk about a turnover machine. That's Daniel Jones. But he's a rookie, and you can give him the benefit of the doubt, whereas Jameis Winston is trying to be done with his rookie contract. The Giants really need to find a win, just something to get them motivated and feel good. It's getting to be that feeling early with Daniel Jones has now gone into, wow, we do lose a lot of games. That's crazy. The Giants had a bye week at 2-8. They've lost six in a row, and they're number 29 on my list.
29 on the list. I'm doing this because you did this a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
At 29, I have my Los Angeles Chargers.
Good for you. Good for you.
I'm getting fed up. I'm hurt. I'm hurting right now. I'm really, really hurting Chargers. You don't understand. It's just too much hope. Yes, I know they have four wins on the season. They only have seven losses on the season. I totally get that. In the recent couple of weeks, the Chargers have had an opportunity to win. They can't close. And I don't understand. Well, I mean, I understand what's going on. You got to come up with a new game plan then. You know, maybe always have an outlet receiver. Maybe have a lineman eligible every single play. I don't know what the answer is. I'm not really sure.
You know, I understand the frustration.
Phillip Rivers is doing it. But I'm putting him at 29 because a couple of weeks ago, you put your Pittsburgh Steelers at 29.
Yes, I did.
And you went on a rant and a tirade that was beautiful and eloquent. And I think the Steelers organization heard you.
I think so, too.
Turned it around and started winning games again.
And then forgot we had a relationship Thursday night against the Browns.
Well, we don't have to worry about that. No one even remember that loss. They don't. Nobody remembers. Nobody knows the Steelers
lost that
game. So
maybe you're giving them a wake-up call, yes.
So I'm putting them at 29, hoping that the same fortune smiles upon them.
Very good. I like that. Good job. Let's see. We're up to 30 and 30. This is where I put the Dolphins. And the Dolphins went back to being the Dolphins, losing the Bills. But that was a fun. They had an onside kick, and it was kind of an interesting little game against the Buffalo Bills. But listen, Dolphins, as fun as you've been at times, you're not getting out of the bottom five. I had to put you somewhere, and fortunately for you, there were two other teams I hate more than the way they're playing more than you. So Dolphins, you're 29.
This is the first for me.
Or 30.
I do not have the Dolphins in my bottom five.
What?
I left the Dolphins out.
Well, you had to kick somebody out for the Chargers.
Yeah,
so
I did.
So there you go.
The Dolphins. This is where I put the Giants.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just like you said, I mean, we're blasting Jameis Winston for throwing a bunch of interceptions. The Giants haven't figured it out. Then you get those rumors that, oh, you know, we're going to have Saquon Barkley on load management. So, I mean, it's like, okay, are we shutting him down for the year? Are we Steven Strasburg-ing him because we don't know We already know that the Giants are going to make the playoffs. You're already giving up on the season. This organization, you know, it's one of those situations where I would say John Mara would be rolling over at his grave, but I know he's not dead.
I'm sorry. You know what? I know that the NFL doesn't want to tell teams and dictate to teams what they should do with their personnel, and there's certainly ways around it. People pay good money for season tickets.
Yes.
People pay good money to go to these games. People take their families sometimes one game a year. And if you're going to give up, why should I give up my money to an organization that wants to talk about load management and all this other baloney? You know what? There's an off season to go get healthy. Play, because that's what you get paid to do.
Not only that, but I want to say like 95% of these athletes have incentives built into their contract.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's another side of it. Good point.
I'm certain Saquon Barkley has incentives built in if he's the leading rusher, or if he rushes for X amount of yards, or if he makes a Pro Bowl. Those are always in there. You can't not earn those if you're not on the field.
Exactly. All right, so 31 for me was the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, same here.
Only because they have a win. They're terrible. That's really it.
That's the same reason.
Only because they have one win on the season.
Yep.
Ugh.
And the Bengals are leaving our man stuck on a roof.
Yeah, stuck on a roof. They're 0-10, and that guy may not get off. And if at the end of the season they go 0-16, he's going to die up there.
That's on you, Bengals.
That's right, Bengals. Get a win to send them home.
That is totally on you.
Please.
You guys are literally going to be responsible for murdering a human being.
Get him off the roof of the restaurant. Like to go home to his family. And you're not helping. Losing all the time. That's Top 5 Bottom 5. Russell Baxter is going to join us. Talk about some of the good and some of the bad after 11 weeks of the NFL. He's really good. Stick around for that. SB Nation AM.